Hallelujah, Jesus. Paul wrote and said when we were in Asia, he and his team, that we had the sentence of death in us. What's the sentence of death? He said the sentence of death was this, that we did not trust in our flesh, but we trusted in a living God that was able to raise us from the dead. The analogy there was like someone serving on a forward front who constantly was in a battle. And their life, there was impending moment by moment. It seemed like there was no existence in front of them. The only rational way to survive would be to retreat. The analogy was to ask for permission from the commander-in-chief. Can I just retreat to survive and save my life? And the answer would have been what Paul was saying. The sentence was passed down. The verdict was this: do not retreat. Stay your ground and move forward. But there's death in front of me. There's no existence. As your commander-in-chief, move forward. Go further. I'm telling you. And Paul concluded, then if that's the answer, there is no trust to be given to my flesh. Amen. My flesh, my mind, my emotions will not help me in this matter. Who will help me? The living God. Amen. Who raises the dead. Hallelujah. Glory! Hallelujah! I'll live with a sentence of death, Father, if necessary, because there is no plan B. There is no escape except into Him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There's no redundant plan. What's your backup plan? Jesus. What if that don't work? It's got to be Jesus. I don't know any way out of this thing but Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory! What if that don't work? We're going to die saying Jesus. Last words, what was it? Jesus. Didn't work, Pastor. Oh, yeah, it did. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. For many say that name, and I'm pleased when you do. But for you to go behind closed doors and become acquainted with the one who carries and is that name, and find that place of intimacy, you'll find that what did not work for you yesterday will begin to work for you in your future. For when you say that name, when you speak my name, and you've had fellowship with me, then everything that I am comes through that name, saith the Spirit of grace. And you'll find that those things that stood you down will no longer have the ability to stand you down. And you'll find that with every spoken time, that you put your trust in me, that I'll come behind you and I'll undergird you and I'll bring forth life in the midst of death, saith the Spirit of grace. Bakorosa, vede bakote. It is not your Father's will to leave you stranded. It is your Father's will to set you up on high, give you an inheritance, and cause you to eat of the fat of the land, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. 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 There's an army rising up. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. You may quietly, worshipfully be seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just one more time, would you just lift those hands and just magnify Him. We glorify You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your great grace. Thank You for who You are, what You are, what You're doing in us. Hallelujah. 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 Would you say this with me? I say that Immokalee is in revival. This region is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. Thousands and thousands. Tens of thousands. Are born again every week through the Family Prayer Center. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify You. We glorify You, Jesus. We're going to be a part with a lot of other people in this region. They're scheduled for an outpouring. And you get to watch it. And even everything that God had us involved with this past week was part of that. Just laying a foundation stone inside of us with the minister that was here, Pastor Jim and Kathy. How many of you enjoyed their ministry really well? Praise God. It's fantastic. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you being a part of what is coming, you get to be a part of the giving as well. So why don't you just ask the Lord what He'd have you to give this morning. We'll allow you to give, and then we're going to go into the Word of God. We're going to share in just a few moments. But we're glad you're here. If you're a guest this morning, if this is your first time with us, lift up your hand. Wave at us. Anybody? I thought there was maybe a couple, but maybe everybody's been here before. Well, we're glad for all of you. Amen. So in just a moment, you'll get a chance to give somebody a great, great big squeeze. Hallelujah. And I'm available for a couple squeezes. Predominantly from my wife. Hallelujah. How many are glad to be seated next to somebody this morning that you know is a family member of God? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So why don't you prepare your gift to the Lord this morning and let's get ready. Father, we're just thankful for this day, all that You've blessed us with. We thank You, Father, for the grace of God, the blessings of the Lord, for what You're taking us into. And we give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's all stand together one more time. You can say hi to somebody. Do not leave. The service is not over. It's just beginning real good, okay? So you can bring this down and be blessed just for a moment with greeting each other. Amen. JC. Come here for a second. Stay in here for a second. Stay around just for a second. All right, go ahead and pray. Would you stretch your faith this way? Let's bless the offering.
Thank You, Jesus, for this offering today, Lord. Thank You for the word that we got to hear all week, Lord, that it just gets, just really gets settled into our hearts. And the word we're going to hear today, Father, I pray and I thank You. We have ears to hear. And Lord, it'll just settle into our hearts as we even go over it and over it and over Your word and continue in, like Pastor was saying this morning, that just there's no place else but You. So Lord, I thank You for multiplying this offering. Father, I thank You that there's going to be many going out and many coming in, Lord God, and we're going to have the funds and the availability of the money as You bring it in, Lord God, to send many out. In Jesus' name, in the days ahead, and all the things that were needed in this revival that's coming, Father, we shall not fall short in any manner. So, Lord, we glorify You. We thank You for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody that's very, 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 very special to me, Miss JC. She had a birthday this past Tuesday. Thursday, okay. Thursday, that's just a few days ago, and would you please come here? She turned 15 years old. Can you believe that? Woo!
Isn't she beautiful? Would you please stand and sing with me our birthday song to our birthday girl? Hallelujah. You ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear JC. Happy birthday to you.
Yay.
Thank you, everyone. Anything else?
I got a huge blessing this year. It feels like I have an open door.
Amen.
Open door to Jesus.
Amen.
I invite him into my room every night and every morning.
Amen.
I feel his presence all the time.
Amen. Golly, thank you, Jesus.
In my closet too.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Thanks, JC.
You're welcome.
Glory to God.
Pastor, she did blow out some candles and she wished for one thing.
Yes.
A car.
Woo! Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you guys get this, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man. Well, we've had our exhortation for the service. Hallelujah. Thanks, JC. If I don't do a good job, she did. So praise God. Let's sing that song that you the last one that you had in there. Let's just worship just a little bit more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you. We give you all the glory through Jesus our Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are one body in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the earth. It's not just here. It's other places of people that are seeking to know you through the power of your might, through the Spirit, through truth, the power of the Holy Ghost. We're asking you to teach us this morning. Guide us. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Lead us, Holy Spirit. So, Father, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. I'm going to read there, and then we're going to go to a few other places as well. Praise the Lord. We were mentioning just a few moments ago how much we enjoyed Jim and Kathy Martin, and they were extremely blessed to be here, and you blessed them financially, which they themselves are not receiving that financial blessing, but it's going to their ministry and going to a work they're going to be doing in Africa, also in another country, which he could not mention to us at the time. But praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. We appreciate it so much. I got a text from Jim this morning, and they're not having church because it's so much snow and ice. So thank God you live in Florida. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We want to look at some of what we were being taught this week and what we were hearing this week and what the Holy Spirit was getting across to us in the message. One of the things as an elder and as the chief elder of this house, in which I say that I believe in all humility, is that God gives an elder an ability to watch on the wall and to look over the sheep. And as I've said before, and I hope you believe me. I believe you do if you know me. If you don't believe me, you don't know me. That's all I can say. And when we invite anybody into here, we don't invite them because we get a turnaround favor or that they're my friend. I pray about these things. I say, Lord, do you want, you know,
it goes right on up to Dave Roberson. Well, I don't know if it goes that far or not. But I do ask the Lord. And so when I ask the Lord, I believe that He has people that are of like faith, pray in the Holy Ghost, teach the Word in the way that we believe, and along the lines in which you've been being fathered. And so when Jim accepted to come down here, I believe it was the direction of the Holy Spirit. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? I mean, we accepted that. I say that to say this is because I've noticed, and it's almost indicative of the enemy. I won't say indicative, it's just what Paul said. It's real, real easy to know. He said, you're not ignorant concerning his devices. In other words, if you stay in the walk very long, and that's not just for me, but I'm saying that's a call of mine, you'll find out that you're not ignorant concerning the devices of the enemy. You begin to understand how he works and what he's trying to accomplish. And so I say that this morning talking to us, Family Prayer Center, is that one of the things that I've noticed through the years is that when we have someone come in, it also, along with the edification, it also draws an attack. Did you hear me? There's usually attack. There's a tsunami afterwards sometimes, but sometimes there's a preceding attack. Sometimes there's something that, and I've noticed that it doesn't just come. Sometimes you may think that your individual test that you may be feeling like you're going through during those kinds of visitations only apply to you. And you may think, man, I'm just having a bad week and everybody else is having a good week. I can tell you those are not isolated incidents. Those kinds of incidents, specifically when we have someone that comes in who has a word of the Lord, are meant to distract us. They're meant to take away, not just for your individuality. They're also meant to so muddy everything, so ambiguous, just make everything so ambiguous, so vague, is that once everything is said and done, you go away and the week really meant very little in what God's intention for it to accomplish was supposed to accomplish. Woo! Excuse me. Hallelujah. Now, am I back again? Hallelujah. I was pretty quick though, wasn't I? Okay. I'm quicker than that guy that tried to give me that Ohio State t-shirt last week, I'll tell you that. Now, right there, we knew that something was wrong with the week, right there, didn't we? Right there, the enemy tried to distract me, but I got past it. Hallelujah. But distractions will come. And I'm trying to teach you something this morning through the Spirit is that when he comes in, he doesn't come in just as against you as an individual. He comes in at us as a church, especially in the message that we heard last week was a message of unity. And it was a message of speaking the same thing and a message of us coming together like never before. I can tell you this, something that you already know, will never, and I'm not saying that we don't already have it, but it's a supernatural thing that the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring past where we're already walking. We will never have revival without unity. We can never be segregated and have revival. Hallelujah. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one mind and in one accord. Are you preaching at anybody? Absolutely not. I'm talking about spirits that try to invade. And I'm talking about that the Holy Spirit had an agenda, in which he always does, in which he's trying to get a message across. And so what happens usually what happens all the time is when the Holy Spirit's trying to get something across, you're going to have devils. They don't know everything. They can't read your mind, but they do know what's been being talked about. They probably know what the man of God has been studying and what his heart's intent by what he's been looking at and contemplating. So they'll go in front, do everything they can to distract. Well, why are you telling us all this? Because I'm telling you is because there's a necessity in the spirit to press past those things. There's a necessity to say, wait a minute. Have we been messed with by the enemy? Has the enemy come? Is there something that he's trying to keep our spiritual understanding from understanding that's a key part of our future? And so I can tell you this past week there was several battles going on. Well, did that stop us? No. But also I can tell you this, it's important for us to recognize those things, not to give glory to the enemy, but to also say, wait a minute, was there something really wonderful that God was trying to get across to us that if we don't watch it, we're not going to get? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So let's, if you're already there with me, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, that's the calling, the vocation wherein you're called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. Everybody say, we're one body. Hallelujah. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. How many are glad for the grace of God? That's His strength to help you fulfill your ministry. Wherefore He saith, this is Christ, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? The perfecting of the saints. Are you looking at it with me? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come to the what? The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth, now this was a major concern of the Spirit, that we henceforth be no more children tossed what? To and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? To deceive. Why can they deceive? Well, one of the ways that they can deceive is good doctrine is not being taught by good men, or men that are good are not stepping forward and preaching, and people are listening at times across Christendom, across the church world. But also we find out this is that it's your individual right. It's your individual inheritance as a born-again believer to go to the Word of God and make sure that your life is being filled directly by the Spirit with goodness and soundness of His Word, so that you're getting impregnated, you're getting filled by the Holy Spirit. I love the way that my pastor used to say it. You can have all of these, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle. Thank God for them, and we just read what their job is. I know what my job is. I'm supposed to be standing up here each week delivering the Word of God to you. But guess what? The moment that you get born again and Spirit-filled, you have the God-given right. You have the God-given inheritance to take, as he used to say, a bath in revelation knowledge. The Holy Spirit will come and teach you. And so praise God. That's one of the reasons why that many Christians are being tossed to and fro is they're not accessorizing. They're not taking that privilege in the Spirit. They're not spending time behind closed doors with an open Bible and with the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, teach me what your word has to say. teach me what your word has to say. It says, but speaking the truth in love. Now, this is how sound doctrine comes. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How many of you believe that speaking the truth, which is doctrine, in love is vitally important? Vitally important. Well, let me show you how important that is. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Keep your place there in Ephesians. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, Paul is he's answering a thing of conscience in the church at Corinth. Some of the Christians were having a problem with eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. And Paul said, really, it's no big deal. You know, to put it lightly or to condense it, Paul said, look, I can sit down and eat a steak that was sacrificed to Satan or any idol, and it does not matter, because the gods of this world are no gods at all. There's only one true and living God. And I can dig in and eat, but he says, if you eat and your brother doesn't understand that and you defile his conscience, then you've sinned against your brother. But he was talking about the power of revelation and overall essence, about how that once you get a revelation, you can walk in the liberty of that revelation, but you've got to understand how important it is to walk in the love of that revelation. It's so important. He says now in verse 1, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge. In other words, the knowledge that he was talking about was the knowledge that he had was about to give, and the revelation concerning just what I talked about things sacrificed to idols. But it could be any knowledge according to the Word of God. And once you get a revelation and you get a freedom in that revelation, that's the knowledge of God. That's the understanding of God. Paul says this, we know that we have knowledge. He was talking to himself and to those who understood things according to the way that he was about to explain them, that we have knowledge. But he says this, knowledge puffeth up. It does what? Do you know your revelation can puff you up? Oh, I got something that you don't got. Really? And you know what? Here's the deal. If you're not dead enough, you may have gotten something. But here's what the Word of God says. Knowledge or revelation puffeth up, but love or agape does what? It edifies. Well, here's the perfect combination, is to deliver everything. Now I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about what you receive through taking a bath in revelation knowledge, because it's your God-given right. If you expect me or Homer or Jim Martin or anybody to be giving you, feeding you all the time, and you to be getting your source only from us, you're already in left field, because you're expecting a man to feed you. We can stand up here and give you revelation knowledge, and it can feed your spirit, but there's only one that confirms that revelation knowledge. And you've got to be spending time enough with him and in his word to confirm all those things. Now, once you get something, or once I get something, we got to watch it that it doesn't puff us up. Why? Because knowledge can puff us up, it can make us arrogant, but love edifies. Now, look what he says here. And if any man thinks that he knoweth anything, in other words, if he thinks, I got a revelation from God, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. In other words, even if you do get a revelation from God, if it's not concealed in love, in other words, if it's not delivered with love, in other words, if you are using your revelation to get across to people, I got a revelation here, I want to prove something to you. He says if it's not being delivered in love, it's not really the fullness of that revelation. Even if you think you know something, you still don't know it completely if you're delivering it outside of the agape of God. Hallelujah. How important is the love of God? Absolutely important? How important is it for it to congeal a congregation? Listen, we're all on a path. We're all seeking the Lord. We're hearing, and you're saying, Lord, feed me. And we're praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is teaching us. One of the gauges, one of the ways that we know if we're walking in the right revelation is the solvent of love. In other words, why do I believe and what am I saying what I believe? Is it for the purpose of edifying people? Is it for the purpose of the overall revelation of we're in revival, to the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear? So that's vitally important. Amen? We don't know anything unless we know it in love. We don't know anything unless we don't get any points across unless it's through love. Now let's go back to to Ephesians chapter 4, and we are verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, are you back there with me? Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint. Everybody say, I am a joint in the body of Christ, and I have something to supply. He says this, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what? In love. See, I've got a job to do, and I'm supposed to be edifying you and building you up. But it says here that every joint is supposed to be supplying. Do you know when you come in here, you know, unless you just are coming in here and you just get born again, if you've been born again, you should be coming here on a weekly basis full of something. Not full of something. Some people come in full of something. But it doesn't edify. As a joint in the body of Christ, you should be supplying to the effectual measure that every part makes increase of the body. See, our increase not only comes from up here hearing the Word of God, but as you are connected and as you're part of the body, and if you're where you're supposed to be, if you're walking where you're supposed to be, because every part of us, if you're born again and you're in a local church, you become a part of that body. Now, you can become an efficient part of that body, or you can become a part, because every joint in your body supplies something. It not only supplies connective tissue or connective joints that causes the rest of that body, my wrist causes my hand to work, and the other parts of my forearm. My elbow helps my forearm and my upper arm. Every part supplies something. But not only does it supply the muscle tissue that works together, I understand this, that if at an early age in life, if a joint, let's say a knee joint or an elbow or some part of your appendage, like your shoulder, if it becomes disjointed and it's not placed back like it's supposed to be, then what can happen is the marrow that is in those joints that are supposed to flow into the rest of the bone, the marrow does not get to flow. And as a result, I heard one guy talk about that. I think he sustained a football injury or something like that, and he got one of his joints knocked out in his knee or his hip or something. And as a result of it, he had some growth to yet in his body. And one leg became way shorter, something like that. I was trying to remember how that just because a joint was out, that it caused, you know, that leg not to grow as far as it's supposed to have grown. We as joints in the body of Christ, the Word of God emphatically tells us here that we're supposed to be connected to the body, but that we're also supposed to be, as we're connected to Him, we're also supposed to be supplying something to each other. And that is the life of Christ. That is us speaking the same thing. That is us walking into revival. And if you yourself as a joint in the body of Christ, you can be part of a fellowship, but it's important that as part of that fellowship, that's why I say we need to understand how the enemy comes. And this is one of the things that I'm going to ask of you. I'm going to ask that as a body, if you come to church here, is that you go to the website this week and that you go on and listen to all those messages once again, and that you take notes if you can. And in just a moment, we're gonna tell you how to receive any word of the Lord, and it's gonna be real. You know, it has a lot of liberty in it. It doesn't put you in a box. It doesn't put you under bondage. But how to receive a real word of the Lord if you respect a man or if you respect someone that's giving you a word of the Lord, and how that you can prove that word and see if it really is from God. But as a body of believers, when the enemy comes in, a lot of times what he'll do is, we don't understand. This is what I want to say. We don't understand how every single one of us, I'm not more important than you if you're really part of this congregation. In the sense that this, I get to deliver the word, but you get a chance to digest that word and also digest what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and give out life, not what is puffed up through your own agenda, but to give out life one to another. Now, sometimes we don't understand how unity works. We don't understand the importance of unity. Do you know, even though I love every one of you and you love me, we don't have cliques in here, but we do have those who we're more apt to fellowship with. That's just the nature of things. That's not a clique. You might have known that person before you started coming to church here, or you may have certain associations. Do you know it's important that as a joint like this elbow right here supplying nutrition to this forearm, if this joint gets out of whack, something's going to happen to this forearm. Now, we're all part of one body. But you know this, there are people that you spend time with more than others. There are groups that you spend time with more than others. Do you know it's important that the words of your mouth concerning the overall body? Now, are you preaching at anybody? Again, I'm not preaching at anybody. Hallelujah. Do you want me to turn this way and preach? Some of you are saying, well, maybe he's correcting. So, no. Do you know when you're with people that you're more associated with and things come up, and things come up concerning things that are being preached here or may have been preached recently from here or in the past from here? Do you know you have an absolute, how can I say this? It's a responsibility before the Lord to watch the way that you answer things and the way that you say things, so that everything that you say only adds to the overall unity of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. Everything that you say, sometimes even what you don't say. Somebody will say, well, what did you think about that? I'm not going to say right now. Well, what do you expect me to say? Go to the Lord and prepare an answer that gives edification to the body, even if you yourself do not agree. Do you hear what I said? Because not saying things sometimes can add as much to the disjoining as saying things. Well, I'll decline to say that right now. Get something from the Holy Spirit and speak something powerful, positive. Well, how do we respond? Okay, man, thank you for these questions that you're asking me this morning. How do we respond? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Oh, no, I said 1 Corinthians. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Let's look at verse 1. Paul is in his travels, and it says, and when they passed through Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews.
And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and in three different Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs suffer and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, and a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Isn't that amazing how King James says it doesn't say a lot of people, it says not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto themselves certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's King Jamesy, isn't it? Everybody say lewd fellows of the baser sort. Maybe that's something you guys can coin sometime. And they gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So that's where they thought Paul and Silas was at, in the house of Jason. And they found them not. And they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." Hallelujah! How many of you like to get the reputation that we're turning the world upside down? Amen? Glory. "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken surety of Jason and the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue." So he did the same thing that he did in Thessalonica, went into the synagogue and began to teach of the Jews. And these, he said, the word Luke is recording, writing the book of Acts, and he, because he was traveling with Paul, and he was with Paul in Thessalonica, so Luke was able to watch what happened to these places where Paul went. And he said concerning these of Berea, he said, "These were more noble than of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." Everybody say readiness of mind. They receive the word with all readiness of mind. The first thing that I would instruct you, now I'm just talking about how to receive a word from the Lord, or how to receive a teaching from the Lord, or how to receive a doctrine. First of all, I can say this. You need to be just listening to people that has been proven. People that have been proven. I'm going to listen to as many people. I would tell you, more is not better, okay? More is not better, but through process of time and prayer and listening, I would, these people, first of all, came in and listened to Paul. Paul was proven in their life. Paul had gotten, and how many of you believe that the Apostle Paul was worth listening to, okay? So, first of all, first thing I would say is, don't just say, okay, this applies to anybody that's out there. First of all, it's got to be somebody, it should be somebody that is proven in your life, somebody that you feel like the Holy Spirit has placed there that you can trust. Then the word says, or Luke says, that these, the Bereans, were more noble than the Thessalonians. In other words, he said, though there was something going on over in Thessalonica, he says, these people were more noble. Well, why were they more noble, Luke? He says they were more noble in that they received the word with readiness of mind. That's the first thing. That's the next thing. Trust the person. Only listen to those really that become a part of, and God will expand that. I mean, you don't just know everybody that God's going to put in your life. God will expand that, but he'll prove them. Then even at that, even if it's Apostle Paul, because we're talking about the Apostle Paul here, you have to have a readiness of mind. What does that mean? You have to have an openness of mind. Do you know something? I had a guy tell me one time, and I love this guy to pieces,
But he says, you know, a lot of times when you're talking about something that I disagree with, I just go off in my mind on something else. He goes, I just start thinking about something else. Really, are you that sure? Are you that unsure about what you believe that you've got to block out what I'm saying? Because if you were totally sure about what you believe, you could listen to what I say and then repudiate it, if necessary, by the wisdom of God in love, not in that which puffs up, but in the love of God, you could go in and say, okay, with all love, I listened to everything he said. But when people begin to block you out or immediately have an argument, they're really a little bit unsure about what they believe. When their voice starts getting a little bit, when their breath gets a little bit, and they tell you, you know what, I listened to everything you said Sunday, but that one part you got to, I just went shopping. I just went fishing. Wait a minute. That's the first step of error right there. Because readiness of mind is the Holy Spirit's got to have. Why are people in unsound doctrine? Because people get to a place where they don't have a readiness of mind. They won't listen to the Holy Spirit. They're settled in what they're settled in, and they won't allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt that at times. Hallelujah. Is that a good point or what? He says that they had a readiness of mind, and he said, then, listen to this, and I like this part, and they searched the Scriptures what? Daily, whether those things were so. They searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, wait a minute. This isn't some Joe Schmo coming in here. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the man who's, he's with Silas now, probably on his second or third missionary journey with Barnabas, started out with him. Barnabas had a big fight. And what? Yes, they had a big fight. And God got them all healed back together later on. Hallelujah. How many of you know that a mistake is not the end? Hallelujah. Paul had to repent too. Glory be to God. You know, sometimes we, if we don't watch it, we almost put Paul in a place where we shouldn't. He's just a man used by the Holy Ghost. And I like reading about his mistakes because that gives me some room to grow. Hallelujah. Not to excuse him, but to say I can grow. Here, the Word says they search the Word daily to see if those things. They search the Scriptures. Well, what Scriptures do they have? These were being written. They had to go back in the Old Testament. They had to go back and maybe whatever epistles had been written, I don't know. But even then, really what it's talking about is that canon of Scripture that was prior to that. And they searched them. They said, look, we respect you. We're listening. But do you know that God commended them and said, I don't expect anybody, none of my children, for anything to be forced down them. Not anything to be forced down them. I like it when David said to Saul, I can't use your armor because I haven't proved them yet. I like what Gary Carpenter said. It may be truth, but it's not truth to me until it's revealed to me as truth. We as preachers a lot of times, and I've been guilty, sometimes we'll labor 6 months for a revelation. We'll vacillate on it, go back and forth. God, give me this, give me that. I really think I see it. No, I don't know if I see it. Then after about 500 times of reading something, it dawns on you, pow, it falls in there, and you get it. And then we expect you to get it the next service. And if you don't get it, we're like, you're in rebellion. Well, what about the 6 months, preacher, that it took you to get what you're trying to get over to them in a half hour's time? Give them time. Give them time. And know this, that God doesn't expect you to take everything I say or anybody that you hear on face value and say, oh, I've got to receive it or I'm in rebellion with God. The Bereans, God said they were noble because they went to the Word of God and they checked out. First of all, they didn't have an antagonistic mind like, well, I'm not going to listen to this or I'm going to block him out. No, they had a readiness of mind. But then they said, I'm not really sure on this, and I'm going to let God prove this to me. I'm going to let God prove this to me. Before I start walking in it, I'm going to let God prove this to me. Hallelujah.
So I'm just telling you, there's things I was hearing this week that I'm just going to go back myself, write them down, listen, let God talk to me, let God prove things to me, and listen to see what really, but I'm asking you to do the same thing. Amen? You really, or I really don't ever have a right before God to say, I disagree with that, unless we have gone to the Word of God and we understand by the Word of God. A lot of times people say, I don't agree with that. Okay, well, why don't you agree with that? Well, I just don't. Well, what from the Word, and have you sat and have you listened to the full context? Because like even this week, we had like 5 or 6 services. You couldn't have come on one of those services or two of those services and knew it. The Friday night service on confessing your faults one to another, that's one of the best teachings I ever heard on confessing your faults to one to another. It was a liberating. But if you had heard that without getting the full context of it, you would think that what he was teaching was coming against everything concerning confession. And it has nothing, it was exactly the opposite concerning confession. It was a liberating service. It was a service to, if I go into it, I'll mess it up. I'm just saying is, that's case in point. You, just like we teach you concerning the Word of God, you've got to get the whole context. When you're part of what God's Word is coming in for something like that for the week, that's why I encourage you, go get the if you can't get them, if you can't get online, we'll have a sign-up sheet, if you don't mind, honey, in the back of the church this morning. Sign up. We'll make sure you get all 5 or 6 of those. Listen to them. I'm telling you, I'm proving things. So I'm telling you this. Isn't it good that we serve a God that'll let us as an individual trust us and say, if you'll go to the Word, I don't expect anything to be forced down you. I want you to go and prove those things. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel comfortable about how you feel. Hallelujah. We don't serve a dictator. We serve a shepherd. His name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We can go on and on. I just want to read to you again. I'm so blessed by it. As I was reading this morning, go to Joel. We got plenty of time. I didn't realize it was still so early. But you're having a good time. Turn to somebody and say, I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. Hosea, Joel and Amos. I was almost having to sing the song in my mind. I thought I was lost. I thought it was out of my Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hold your place right there before we read that and go to 1 Corinthians 1. Just hold your place in Joel. Hallelujah. Verse 10 says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all do what? Speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of... Okay, he goes on to talk about the division. It's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there is a contingent among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, I am of Cephas, that's Peter, and I am Christ, I am of Christ. So he's talking about the divisions that were trying to run rampant in the church, and basically some saying, you know what, I like that preacher better. Well, you know, here's the thing. When you begin to go to a church and you begin to say, okay, and again, I say this in all fear and trembling, God begins to put a voice in your life and there are other voices in your life, but you have to be careful also. And you also have to be careful that you never get in a position where you're pitting ministers against each other and that you're also saying, okay, wait a minute, I like the way he said it better. Or I can go along with that. We have to go back to proving everything. Amen. Look in the book of Joel. And let's look at... let's just read just for a moment. How many of you know that this is a prophecy in the book of Acts? Chapter 2. When they begin to do what? Speak in tongues. When the Lord delivered the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And it says in verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds. Now, when he's talking about this, it sounds real ominous. It sounds really bad, but he's talking about something that's taking place in the spirit that's overtaking the land. This is not bad here. Clouds, thickness of darkness, the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after, even the years of many generations. How many of you know once the born-again experience came into the earth, there's never been a people like us? 4,000 years. There's never going to be a change of covenant. It's all always going forward in this nature that which we live in. A fire devoureth before them. This is the prophecies of the last day. And this is the prophecy concerning where that we're supposed to be living in revival in these last days. A fire going before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them desolate wilderness. Yes, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pained, and all the faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break rank. Hallelujah. How many of you know that there's an army that we're supposed to, there's an army rising up? You're part of that army. It's going to be an invading army. So much so that he paints a picture like here that there's nothing that's going to escape it. There's nothing that's going to escape the anointing that we're supposed to have in these last days. Jesus said, go ye into the highways and byways, compel them to come in. Well, that anointing is going to be a major part of that. He says this, last verse, got to read it again. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not do what? Not break ranks. In other words, everybody's going to know what their place is. Everybody's supposed to know what their joint is. Everybody's supposed to know what they're supposed to be supplying. Is there somebody more important than the other? No. But what we do know is this. Knowledge puffs up, but love does what? It edifies. Neither shall one in this army thrust another. In other words, there should be an army that grows up in the last days so strong is that they will not thrust. What does that mean? Stick your sword in another person or in a fellow brother. Stab them in the back. Hallelujah. They're marching in such precision is that they don't get out of rank, and as if they're marching in such a precision of rank and understanding, and their spears in front of them, that they're not ready to defile. They're not ready to do anything that's out of joint. They're not ready to do anything that doesn't edify. And he says this, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be what? Not be wounded. Where we're asking God to take us to is this. This is part of our confession. That we won't give an offense and that we won't take an offense. Are you there yet, Pastor? I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I'm sitting there with you. But listen. In this last day army, the more and more that we are purged from the place of where we can't give an offense nor take an offense, we're getting closer and closer that the knowledge that we have. Do we have knowledge? Yes, we have knowledge.
Do we understand what praying in tongues will do? Yes. Do we understand what all these inroads? Yes. But if any of these things and all these things cause us to be puffed up, where we begin to separate ourselves from other brethren and say, look, I know a little bit more than you, and so I can't, you know, I can't even hear what you got to say. I got to, I'm going to shut you out. I can't hear what you got to say. Wait a minute. I believe in what I understand enough to hear what you have to say, but I also know that the foundation that I'm in, it's not going to be moved. Praise God. And there's going to be more and more built on this foundation. And the more that I'm able to hear and let foundation stones be placed there, God's going to take us into the next step in revival. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand with me this morning. Did you get anything? Amen. Sunday nights at 6? All right. Praise God. Sunday night. This Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Hallelujah. 15 and above. Glory. Let's. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's join hands with somebody next to you. Praise God. Turn to your right and left. Now, go ahead and cross the aisles. That's good. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. We already got disunity in the church. We only got the first three rows. Can you guys come together back there? All the aisles, all the... Hallelujah. That's my bad. I did not instruct you correctly. Praise the Lord. This is not a perfect joining, because if it was perfectly joined, you'd be touching everybody, and everybody would be touching you. But I don't know how we do that until we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless. Would you just say, Father, I bless the one on my right and the one on my left. Father, I'm asking you that in the name of Jesus, that you will help me in the days ahead to hear from you, even the things I've heard this week. Prove these things as you will. And in the days ahead, I pray that not only will I be a blessing to you, Father, but to this one on my right and on my left. I love you, Father. And as I love you, so do I love them. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. Hallelujah.